What's the mood like for people who've been there maybe for a few days?
Normally, people, when they first go through the crisis or the trauma of being rescued, there's an adrenaline phase in which they're very grateful. By day two or three, that starts to wear off, and sometimes people start getting upset. And of course, this is all appropriate. There's no judgment here.
These times of uncertainty can, I'm sure, be very difficult for everyone involved, even people with training, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I think those of us with training and have been doing it a while understand that, and we're really here to provide that calm, non-anxious presence, and as spiritual care people to try and help people get in touch with their center of hope.
What kinds of stories are you hearing from folks?
Everything from, I'm so grateful to be here, I'm glad my children are safe, to, you know, I just opened up a brand new restaurant, and I lost both my home, my restaurant, and all the food. This is significant trauma in people's lives that will stay with them, I believe, for the rest of their life, unless they have an opportunity to talk through what they've been through.
And as someone coming from the clergy, how do you respond, and what kinds of things are you leaning on?
Disaster chaplains are very different than being a local church pastor. It's unethical for us to evangelize. What we do simply is listen. It is in the unfolding of the story that people themselves get a handle or a sense of wholeness about where they are in their journey. It is very humbling for me to be a part of this process. It is draining, but I feel very fortunate to be working with a great group of spiritual care providers.
I was going to ask, how are you and where have you been restoring yourself, getting any time you may need to cope with the stories and the images that you're seeing?
If you've ever been on a disaster scene, there is way too much junk food. So I just have to say no to all of the food. And for those of us that have done this work for a while, we describe disasters by how much weight we've gained. But honestly, I take time out to quiet down in the evening, and there's been four or five of us that debrief every night. We share stories about our successes and our frustrations. And I think it's through that team effort that makes the work that we all do much easier.
What drew you to this work? Because, as you said, it's not necessarily religious, per se. You're just being more of an ear.
I was serving a church in New Orleans when Katrina hit, and I was myself in a shelter for 3 months. And while I was in that shelter, I provided pastoral care 24/7. I actually moved from New Orleans to serve in North Falmouth, in part to get away from evacuating. While I was in New Orleans, I evacuated 4 times in 10 years.
What do you say to people when they ask about the road ahead and you have such a personal experience with it?
I don't go there. We're not trained to be directive. You know, if somebody wants to talk about their future, we help them to clarify it. I can honestly say in about 98-99% of the people that I've spoken to, that after we have an encounter, which can be 3 minutes or it could be an hour, that people always say thankful. And there's much more light in their eyes simply because we've taken the time to listen and be present.
Do you think you'll go back? This, of course, we know there's going to be a long road ahead for recovery for so many people.
Yeah. You know, I'm married, so that's a conversation I need to have with my wife.
Yeah, sounds like, yes. Thank you so much for talking with us for a few minutes. I know you're so busy, and safe travels back to Cape Cod when you return.
Thank you very much.